Klaus Schwab finally retires. But what's next for the Lunatics of Davos? Live streamed to millions, this was the most watched Latin Mass since Vatican II. Why is the mainstream French media suddenly taking interest in the old Mass? Three-time Super Bowl champion Harrison Butker doubles down, this time at a homeschool fundraiser. They call it Catholic Disneyland, but it's actually history in action. From the martyrs in the Colosseum to the baptism of Clovis, the Puy de Fou signals a massive Catholic revival in France. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Michael Matt, and this is the Remnant Underground. Happy to be stateside, home once again after a powerful, beautiful pilgrimage from Paris to Chartres in France. But before we get started tonight, they may seem unrelated, but they're not. Three things. Harrison Butker, the Great Awakening, and homeschooling. What's the connection? We're going to find out in a minute, which is good because our sponsor tonight is Our Lady of Victory Homeschool. So thrilled to be partnering with those guys. Those guys have been on the front line of the homeschool movement for well over 30 years. My friend Scott Jones out there just doing fantastic work. And I've always thought of them as, I've always thought of homeschoolers, especially homeschool moms, as just the front line heroes of the movement, doing everything, changing history, making such a difference. So it really is important for us to be advocates of homeschooling and also to partner with Our Lady of Victory homeschool. I've been homeschooling, my wife and I have been homeschooling our kids for right from the start, all seven of them, all the way through high school. Our third daughter, Isabella Marie, in fact, just graduated Franciscan University, very proud of that. It's always important to mention that because we believe it, you know, it's important to stand against the stereotype that homeschoolers cannot hack college. Absolute nonsense, of course. She did really, really great and graduated with honors and all the rest. So if I can be a proud papa for a moment, because as a homeschool father, it's important to advocate. So, yeah, this show is absolutely 100% pro-homeschooling, as we're going to see in a minute. So is now this incredible Harrison Butker football star. I want to talk about that in a little bit, but please do check out. If I get one piece of advice for a young couple starting out today, you're hesitant, you're a little nervous about homeschooling, maybe you think you're not called to it, you're not good enough, whatever, God provides. It is the single greatest, best, the single best decision that my wife and I made in our married life. I encourage you to do it. It comes with a great benefits package, especially when it comes to keeping the family together and united through a very crazy, dark, demonic time. Huge benefit there to keep the family close. But also, it's just it's the thing to do right now. So please check out Our Lady of Victory Homeschool. The new year is coming up here, the new school year coming up here, not too far off. Read all about it. They've got a great classic curriculum. They have a full line of services, advisory services, and so forth. That's Our Lady of Victory Homeschool. Please check them out and prayerfully consider getting your family involved in the homeschool frontline movement. You know, tonight, I'm just really interested in looking at what's beginning to look an awful lot like the wheels coming off this whole New World Order thing. I got a bunch of clips, a bunch of things I want to talk about. Well, we can get to it. We have time to get to it all tonight. But I was reminded over in France, we're in Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris, of a small reminder of why this New World Order is so stupid. Simply never gonna get off the ground. They keep talking about their technology and their AI and all of this stuff that's going to make our lives so much better. Well, I was reminded of Walter Thriller's picture up on the screen. What you're looking at here is yours truly. Coming through the airport with a group of pilgrims, and we started trying to check in at those ridiculous kiosks, right? Which never work. I don't know what they're doing there. They simply never work. So everybody comes in with that passport. They feed it into the machine. Nothing happens. They start waving at somebody to come over and help. Well, in this case, we did that. The person who came over to help couldn't figure it out, of course. So they suggested that we go speak to the one remaining human being who's left at the checkout counter. I go over and I start talking to him. Nice enough guy, limited English, but nice enough guy. And he's now trying to input so much stuff, I guess a throwback to all the COVID rules or something, that he begins to get visibly upset. Finally, he says, can you come back here and check in your own group? I'm like, what? And I kid you not, I had to go behind the counter, sitting there like an Air France agent, typing all this data in for the guy because it just wasn't working any other way. And I thought to myself, happy to help. He made a little joke about maybe Air France would be sending me a check for my time. But I thought, this is so amusing. The New World Order simply doesn't work. And then you see what's happening to the people. So you get on one of these planes and you look around and go, oh my gosh, am I going to die with these people? Some of these people are jacked up on drugs. I don't know what they're doing, but here's an example of the type of thing now you sometimes see once you manage to get on board one of the aircrafts here in the New World Order.
Freedom!
You're under arrest.
That's fine. I've been there before. I'm not scared. I've been there before. There's my elbow! Who's hugging my wrist?
A poor creature. I don't know if she's insane. I don't know if she's a he. I don't know if she's possessed, but this is like the personification of the New World Order, isn't it? People just shouting, yelling, no idea what's going on, utterly detached from reality, right? We see it all around us. It's insane. And then you juxtapose that, in my case. I think back to what we just lived through, those 20,000 traditional Catholic clans from all over the world who got onto the road to Chartres, right, France, and for 3 days walked in this microcosm of Christendom, walked in this microcosm of everything that we've lost, where there's peace and quiet and sanity and prayer and singing and humanity and all of this stuff happening. And you realize, man, they have nothing, these enemies of the cross. They got nothing but madness, insanity, right? So what has to happen, and it is happening, and I intend to prove that it's happening, is massive counter-revolutions just seething all around us, right beneath the surface, or sometimes bubbling out and right out into the open. Massive counter-revolution, Catholic counter-revolution, is coming to the fore right now. I mean, the 2024 Chartres pilgrimage, because I know we go on and on about this, but man alive, this is the most powerful example of what I'm talking about, the most powerful and hopeful example of why we need to keep fighting and why we should be pleased to keep, and honored to keep fighting. 2024 Chartres pilgrimage, it made history this year in such a big way. This thing was huge, friends. Walter will throw some of the images up on the screen, this column of people stretching out for miles, shutting down Paris, shutting down Chartres, the average age 20 years old, 20,000 pilgrims, friends, traditional Catholics, mostly traditional Catholics, but a fair number who are new to tradition, new to Catholicism, even some folks that were just curious and weren't even Christian that we ran into, but are so intrigued by this, they want to ask questions, right? So 20,000 pilgrims from 55 foreign chapters, the chapters are the divisions in the groups, 55 just foreign chapters, just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of French chapters, right? 55 foreign chapters of about 50 people a pop, from 24 countries, from 5 continents. This is just a massive statement, and it's only getting stronger and louder and more prayerful and more Catholic and more powerful every year, especially since Traditionis Custodis. Hundreds of priest friends, bishops, cardinals, Cardinal Gerhard Müller, as we said, offering the traditional Latin Mass in Notre-Dame-de-Chartres Cathedral. Man, it's just absolutely iconic. The history books will have pictures of this. They'll write about this someday. The great turning around, the great awakening that was taking place, that took place in 2023, 2024, 2025. That's what we're looking at. Okay, I've just come back from the front line. I'm here to promise you that's what we're looking at, no matter what anybody else says. Right? No matter the naysayers, they look at the Chartres pilgrimage, they see 20,000 people, they say, yeah, but 1, 2, 3, they're not wearing chapel veils, so it's not good. You know, this kind of crazy failure to realize how many people are new to this, how many people are just getting excited about this, got a lot to learn about chapel veils and things like that, but they're there, and it's a massive, massive statement, right? Counter-revolutionary statement. As you see on your screen right now, for example, for the first time now, this is just so weird. The Fox News equivalent in France is something called CNews, right? They showed up. Not only the Fox News equivalent, but also the CNN, the liberal, more liberal equivalent television news network showed up on Pentecost Sunday in a field in which there are 20,000 young people and a bunch of pretty famous people, like Candace Owens was there, and politicians were there. who are fighting for the good fight in France. And for the first time now, get this, the Latin Mass. I'm just saying, remember, post traditionis custodis, not to rub it in anybody's face, but post traditionis custodis, this happened. Major networks in France show up. They broadcast a Latin Mass on Pentecost Sunday, live stream the entire hour and a half. Walter's got some of it rolling right now. To an audience that numbered in the millions, this became the largest broadcast of a Latin Mass since before the Second Vatican Council. All over France, they're looking at this. This is why France, why Paris is auto-destructing, while French people are disappearing. There's a massive migration problem, obviously, in France. There's unrest all the time. Everybody's like, whatever happened to the church? Whatever happened to being French? Whatever happened to Catholicism? What happened to us? You see? It's so sad to see this, but even a lot of secular French are starting to realize we gave up on God. We gave up on our identity as Catholics. We gave up on Christianity. And wouldn't you know it, now we got chaos. Now we got hell in the streets, day in and day out in large sections of Paris, for example, right? So while that's going on in the real world, and this idiot Macron's over there trying to be, you know, outdo the little ferret up in Canada, was stupid. While that's all happening, all of a sudden on the TV on Pentecost Sunday, 20,000 traditional, no, forget traditional, 20,000 Catholics attending a traditional Latin Mass under the blazing sun Pentecost Sunday. Imagine the conversations that are happening right now all over Europe because of this. It's just amazing. You know, this was the shot heard around the world, friends. And I'm not saying this because it was just a human effort. It was so clear to everybody there that there was something, we were getting a little assist. There was something divine going on. This was a magnificent manifestation of something wonderful. Let's put it that way. So tell me again all about how there's no hope, how everything is lost. There's no point in fighting back because we're just going to lose. Tell me again, because you know what, man? I am just not feeling it. As I see it, in fact, it's not us who are running out of time. It's the bad guys. It's the enemies of the cross who are running out of time. It's these idiot globalists and their moronic New World Order and their insipid Great Reset, which is dead on arrival, by the way, thanks be to God. Nobody cares about the Great Reset anymore, right? The fact is, the woke mob in the church and in the state is now so completely and entirely out of control that massive counter-revolution is literally inevitable. There's no other way around this. So, for example, I don't really care where you come down on Trump. I know lots of people want to make this all about Donald Trump, and if you're for him or against him, we had that little stupid spitting contest about Trump. Come on, this is way bigger than Trump. But no matter where you come down on Trump, this felony conviction that the man just got in New York, I mean, this marks a blatant assault on the fairest system of justice in the world today. You know what that means? That means it's an assault on every single one of us, our kids, our expectation of justice in the courts of law, our civilization. It's an assault on it all. And you don't have to be a conservative to see where this is going to lead. So even a guy like Elon Musk, you know, one of the most influential, wealthiest men in the world, certainly no conservative, he tweets out, "Great damage was done today to the public faith in the American legal system. If a former president can be criminally convicted after such a trivial matter, motivated by politics rather than justice, then anyone is at risk of a similar fate." So you don't like Trump? I don't care, fine. But that only speaks to my point even more so. If even Trump, who is not exactly a daily communicant, if you know what I mean, if even Trump is too conservative and too pro-America, pro-nationalism for this insane woke mob that's trying to blow the world up right now, well, again, that means there is going to be a lot of pushback, and not just from conservatives, not just from Christians, not just from traditional Catholics. In other words, the coalition is getting really large. Regular people everywhere I've had enough. So take the World Health Organization's Pandemic Preparedness Treaty, for example. We talked a lot about that. This was the deal where this lunatic was going to be able to lock everybody down at will, whenever he wants, even though he showed his incredible incompetence. He's not even a doctor. During COVID, he messed everything up. And now all the countries of the world say, hey, Mr. Lunatic, how about you take everything over in the future, too? See how you do. Maybe you'll improve with age. Go ahead and lock us all down. No, people are like, what are you talking about? This is Dr. Ted. He's a nut job. That message got out. That treaty was shelved at the World Health Assembly. Because why? Because too many people don't want to be locked down again by this megalomaniac.
So I'm still positive, to be honest. Despite the outcome, the world still needs a pandemic treaty. And the world needs to be prepared. Because many of the challenges that caused a serious impact during COVID-19 still exist. This is not a failure. Even when I fail, by the way, many times, I try to learn what happened and then move on. Failure doesn't stop us, should not stop us. But this is not failure. You have really done a lot.
So yeah, people say, well, but that's not over. Yeah, that's exactly right. The WHO stormtroopers are going to come knocking again. Of course they will. You bet they will. But the point is, they failed, right? They failed this time around. Now, this is on the heels of COVID. That was their slam dunk. COVID was their momentum. It was their engine. It was their rocket fuel. This is how we're going to do it. Remember Klaus Schwab? You must reimagine the future. We never got COVID again. Remember all he writes the book, COVID-19 and the Great Reset and all that. He's actually got a book about it. They were really kind. They got Prince Charles. Oh, yes, we've never had a better opportunity right now to save the planet. Oh, COVID can never happen again. Remember, it's all about COVID. They thought they were going to slam dunk this right away, right? Now they're out of time. They're running out of time. In an obvious attempt to rebrand the increasingly cartoonish, buffoonish World Economic Forum, like just something right out of chaos, like Get Smart, you know? Got Klaus Schwab talking into his shoe or whatever. I'm just nuts, crazy stuff. The World Economic Forum. Klaus Schwab suddenly announces he's retiring. Can you believe it? Just last week, he announced his retirement. It's going to be a little while, but he's announced his retirement. And everybody's like, whew, it's about time. Gee, what a nut job. Even people on his side. When is this guy going to, you know, get the hand? He's farting dust. You got to go. You know, now everyone's sitting back and waiting to see who's going to take Klaus's place. The trouble is, as I see it, Klaus Schwab is the face of the Great Reset. Again, he wrote the book, didn't he? He wrote the book, COVID-19 and the Great Reset. He is the face of the Great Reset. With his little bald head, you know, and his German accent, straight from Central Casting and all that. He's a tough act to follow for the World Economic Forum. Who are they going to get? I mean, look at little Alex Soros. Poor guy. You know, he looks like Boy Wonder at Batman's funeral lately. You know, well, he's just got nothing to do, you know, now that his old whacked out daddy is on mothballs. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens with the field marshal. But for the moment, the window just slammed shut on the fat, chubby fingers of Klaus Schwab and his golden COVID opportunity to take over the world. And now, incredibly, we got guys like Jeffrey Sachs who are sitting there with their finger in the air going, whoa, this is not kind of working out like I thought it was going to work out. So you got Jeffrey Sachs calling out Klaus Schwab and the globalists and the COVIDiacs as well.
There's a lot of debate about a pandemic treaty. WHO is, of course, pushing it. Lots of countries are as well, as you well know. How can you prepare for a new pandemic without establishing the origin of the most recent pandemic?
And more than that, we're going to have another pandemic. If it came out of a lab, they're still doing this work. It's not as if they said, oh my God, we really blew it. Now we stop gain-of-function research. There's gain-of-function research going on all over the place.
So
this line of work is really dangerous. And who's watching it? Well, we don't know, because it's DOD, because it's confidential, because no one tells us anything. And interestingly, you know, now the House Investigation Committee is trying to get at some of this. The Democrats completely surrounded Fauci and said, we don't want to have a look at this. Said this is Republican grandstanding. It's nuts. What could be less partisan than where this virus came from?
Think about what we just saw there. I mean, Jeffrey Sachs on Tucker Carlson. Put the link down below because he gets into Ukraine. He's spot on Ukraine. He gets into the thing with Russia, the lies that are going on with Russia. He gets into the neocon. He gets into NATO enlargement. It's incredible. NATO expansion on Tucker Carlson's show. Now, who saw that coming?
When I said that this war has a reason, that it's not that Putin's evil, that we provoke this and that it could stop, I got most of my remaining interlocutors saying, Jeff, what is the matter with you? You're Putin apologist? You know, how dare you? When I say this about Israel, I lose another group.
Yes.
Because there are things you're supposed to say here.
You say, well, I don't trust sex. Who cares? I don't either. That's not the point. The point is the globalists are losing it. They're so drunk with their own power and their own ambition that they're alienating even their own.
I'm going to call it out wherever I see it. I mean, there are things that have to do with, you know, gender and race and free speech and just ideas about, you know, you can be healthy at any weight, and gender is always a social construct, and maybe we should give communism another try, and maybe we should get rid of capitalism and the border patrol, and let's tear down statues of Lincoln and get rid of the police. Just, yeah. You know, no, it's not that I've gotten old, it's that your ideas are stupid.
The whole thing now, this whole Great Reset, this whole New World Order thing, it's like a dry forest that's just waiting for somebody to strike one match and just burn the stinking thing to the ground. You see? So I was in Europe when the Harrison Butker speech hit, when it landed, when it went viral. And I didn't have time to actually watch it over there. But what I did notice is that everyone, even a lot of the French, everyone was talking about the American football player who was really rocking the world with one simple commencement speech at a small Catholic liberal arts college. When I got home, I sat down and watched it, and wow.
Today, our shepherds are far more concerned with keeping the doors open to the chancery than they are with saying the difficult stuff out loud. It seems that the only time you hear from your bishops is when it's time for the annual appeal, whereas we need our bishops to be vocal about the teachings of the church, setting aside their own personal comfort and embracing their cross. Our bishops are not politicians, but shepherds. So instead of fitting in the world by going along to get along, they too need to stay in their lane and lead.
Now, of course, there are people even in the church, including some lefty penguins, you know, the nuns on the bus type, you know, what's left of the Catholic religious orders, who were very upset with Harrison Butker and let everybody know that this is in violation of Vatican II and he's just not a good guy.
In a statement, the Benedictine Sisters of Mount Scholastica say in part, they quote, do not believe that Harrison Butker's comments in his 2024 Benedictine College commencement address represent the Catholic Benedictine liberal arts college that our founders envisioned and in which we have been so invested.
But my question to them would be, what is he actually doing? What is Harrison Butker actually doing here? I think the answer is simple. He's doing exactly and precisely what Bishop Fulton Sheen famously told us all to do. Who is going to save our church? Remember that? Not our bishops, not our priests and religious. It is up to you, the people. You have the minds, the eyes, and the ears to save the church. Your mission is to see that your priests act like priests, your bishops act like bishops. If you watch, end quote, if you watch that entire commencement address, you realize that's exactly what he's doing. He's demanding that the bishops act like bishops, the priests act like priests, and quite say the Pope act like a Pope, but I bet you that's what he's thinking.
The road ahead is bright. Things are changing, society is shifting, and people young and old are embracing tradition. Not only has it been my vocation that has helped me and those closest to me, but not surprising to many of you should be my outspoken embrace of the traditional Latin Mass. I've been very vocal in my love and devotion to the TLM and its necessity for our lives.
He's getting to the problem. The problem is the soft apostasy of the Church of Vatican II. I'm sorry, that offends you. That's just true. Maybe I'll change it a little bit. The soft apostasy of the Church of Accompaniment. Does that make you feel better? There is no difference, but if you think there is, let's just use the word accompaniment. That's the problem. That's what's happened. That's why everything's unraveling. That's why that lady on the airplane is freaking out, because the moral authority of the Catholic Church has been put on hold, put on pause. It's irrelevant. The bishops are irrelevant, exactly as we've been saying and exactly as Harrison Butker said. The bishops have become irrelevant, and indeed they have.
Our bishops once had adoring crowds of people kissing their rings and taking in their every word, but now relegate themselves to a position of inconsequential existence. Now, when a bishop of a diocese or the bishops' conference as a whole puts out an important document on this matter or that, nobody even takes a moment to read it, let alone follow it.
And for that, for Butker doing what Bishop Fulton Sheen told us all to do, the media, Catholic media and secular media, turned on him like a pack of demons. In fact, like that pack of demons in the Passion of the Christ movie.
As you can imagine, he did not hold back, and this commencement speech has circulated very quickly online. In fact, a former Kansas City commissioner wrote, Harrison Butker doesn't represent Kansas City, nor has he ever. Kansas City has always been a place that welcomes, affirms, and embraces our LGBTQ community members. Another person online wrote that, you know, I've never even heard of him until today, and he did a bang-up job of becoming one of the most hated men in North America in the space of one 20-minute speech full of bigotry and misogyny. We should also note that a change.org petition is also circulating online, asking people to sign it so that Butker can be dismissed from the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yikes. But don't you see how precarious their position is right now? These vaunted leaders of the new world, of the brave new world, are positively terrified of one Catholic kid, you know, who could so easily become the spark that burns their entire evil world to the ground, knocks their entire house of cards down, right? Just one guy, one Catholic guy, a dad, a husband, a father, right? Terrified of him because they got everybody else so afraid. And the thing that's so interesting about this is I think Harrison Butker has been in the NFL for, does anybody know, 7 years, I think?
7, yeah.
He won 3 Super Bowls, 2 in a row. He's got a magnificent career ahead of him, right? And kickers never get injured. So I think he's going to, well, they do sometimes. But I mean, he's got a great career ahead of him. I think this young man decided that I'm coming right off a Super Bowl victory. I'm at the pinnacle of my influence, of my fame, and I'm going to risk it all. That's the impression I had watching it. I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is just absolutely using all the gifts that God gave him, including the position that he's in right now in the world. And I'm sorry to say, a guy who won a Super Bowl a few months after the Super Bowl is one of the most powerful men, influential men on the planet now. And I think this guy said, you know what? This is my moment. This is what I got to do. This is what God wants me to do. And that's what makes this so interesting. He's not some has-been. He's not some guy who's 15 years in or retired or whatever, and now he's going to say something. He's saying something at the top of his game, has everything to lose. But what happens then to Butker is so great because it shows you, it teaches us. It's an incredibly important teaching moment. What happens? Harrison Butker's jersey becomes the number one selling jersey in the country. In fact, what do you tell me, Walt? They sold out. They're having trouble keeping up with the demand right now. His Super Bowl winning coach, this shocked me, his Super Bowl winning coach and the all-star quarterback backed him up to the media, right? And millions of sane people stood up and shouted their approval of what this guy did. What does this tell you? What does this tell you? It tells you that millions of people are just waiting for someone, anyone, to stand up and shout at the emperor, put on some clothes, man. You're buck naked. That's what people are actually waiting for. Not everybody's got the backbone of a Harrison, but everybody's waiting for somebody with power and influence to do that. Good-looking young guy with everything to lose. He can change the world. Literally. Isn't it cool? And then, again, I came home to this, and I was so excited when I found out what happened. God bless him. Harrison Butker doubled down.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here in support of Regina Chaley Academy. It's been great to see a lot of friends here tonight and to meet so many of the families that attend our centers across the country. Going into my second year as a board member, I can tell you there is an exciting future ahead with plans for expansion and new leadership. It's safe to say that RCA has the potential to lay a solid foundation for a legion of future saints. Lastly, I would like to recognize Canon Commons and Father Akers for being here and supporting RCA. The fraternity and the Institute have both been instrumental in my formation as a husband and as a father.
All right, stop the tape. What did he just say? He said fraternity and Institute. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about the fraternity of St. Peter and the Institute of Christ the King. Two Latin Mass priestly societies, two of the most prominent, in fact. See, because he's a proud traditional Catholic, which is why he's unafraid to speak and speak effectively. And that's just a beautiful thing to see. Roll the tape.
In my 7 years in the NFL, I've become familiar with the positive and negative comments, but the majority of them revolve around my performance on the field. But as to be expected, the more I've talked about what I value most, which is my Catholic faith, the more polarizing I have become. It's a decision I've consciously made and one I do not regret at all. If we have truth and charity, we should trust in the Lord's providence and let the Holy Ghost do the rest of the work.
So did you feel that? Feel that wash over you? That sense of pride that one of ours is willing to stand up when he's got everything to lose? Say that? And make a difference with everyone? This is what I mean. Resistance is not futile, friends. This is what I mean by that. This is what I mean by tradition is the future. It literally is the future. It literally is. The revolution is dying. It's on life support right now. Harrison Butker praised traditional Catholic priests for what they've done to him personally. To his credit, he wanted to acknowledge the priests who are in the company of that address that he was given. One of whom I've known and have met. He's been at the Catholic Identity Conference. He wants to acknowledge that. Well, I just came back. Our team just came back from France, where we had ringside seats at what is happening in another venue, what is happening liturgically and in family life over in France. This is what it looks like. Just absolutely amazing. Okay, so where to start? We just arrived. We're here in Nantes. Nantes is in the middle of the Vendée region. In fact, it's the city in which General Charette, the king of the Vendée, the leader of the Vendéans, was executed. Now, what we're looking at here is the Church of Saint Clement. That steeple up there is the highest steeple in Nantes. Okay, I've just been standing here on this corner, watching people pour into this church. This is the Fraternity of Saint Peter Church. Like I say, the highest steeple in Nantes, one of the most classic, iconic churches in Nantes. And then you can just see the restoration in action. Let's go take a peek. Going on and on because I'm fired up with a lot of hope and a lot of inspiration right now because everything that's going on is so good. But I want to close. I want to leave you with just one obvious point, that this, what we just saw, has taken place in the heart of the Vendée. Right? This is a place Michael Davies and I went there years ago. I've been talking about it all the time. He published this book, For Altar and Throne, which is available from The Remnant, which is the story. And when this book came out, nobody in our country had really ever even heard of the Vendée, because the revolution had done such a great job of covering up this embarrassing genocide that they committed against their own people, these champions of liberty, equality, and fraternity, right out of the gate. But this is that place in Western France we've talked so much about, where 230 years ago, the ground was literally saturated with the blood of our people, with the blood of the original traditional Catholics who refused to bow to the woke mob, who even way back then was trying to burn the Catholic Church down, right? Same exact war, same revolution, same group of people. And you know the story of the Vendée. I've been telling it for a long time, how these peasants of the Vendée gave, this is in Western France, gave their lives for the Latin Mass and for the faith of our fathers, right? For 200 years afterwards, the revolution tried to bury their story, because it's a story of fidelity to Christ the King, kingship of Jesus Christ. But the revolution has failed, right? Because it's all coming roaring back. The Vendée is coming alive again. This film, I'm gonna show you a little clip. We already talked a lot about this film. That took France by storm last year and told the story of General Charette, the king of the Vendée. Maybe you'll remember a little bit of this. I'll show you 10 seconds and I gotta make a point about it. Check this out.
La Convention nationale a décrété la levée de 300 000 hommes pour combattre à la frontière de l'Est.
La guerre!
Non! La guerre!
Mon frère, vous ne pouvez pas les ignorer. Parce qu'ils ont besoin d'un chef. Un chef qui connaît l'art de la guerre.
À mort!
Après avoir incendié toute la Vendée, voilà qu'elle nous incendie à son tour.
Now, that film is soon to be released. So people remember we had it at Remnant TV for a while. And then our French friend said, hey, you know what, we're gonna just, let's just release that thing officially in the States through the theater system. Like, you got it, let's do it. So that film is gonna be released here in theaters in the States at some point over the next year. And my point is, guess who made the film? The film was made by a Catholic film company called Puy du Fou Films. So the Puy du Fou is a multi-million dollar theme park. I'll show you some clips here in a minute. And it's dedicated to the telling of the true story of the Vendée and also of the history of Christianity, the true Christian history. Telling that story in the most grand and amazing fashion. You can't believe it, it blows your mind. Telling that story to millions of visitors per year so effectively that the people who go to the Puy du Fou, it's almost like a Catholic Disneyland, only obviously it's much better. They go, they're entranced by this incredible spectacle, what they see. Bring their family, their friends, it's a huge, beautiful day, right? Spent at the Puy du Fou a couple days. But they don't even realize they're being indoctrinated in true history. The revisionist history that they grew up with is being undermined at the Puy du Fou. It looks something like this.
Baptism of Clovis. And we've gone through the Roman wars against the pagan barbarians, all the way up to this point when France gets baptized 1500 years ago. And they're celebrating coming from the darkness to the light for France.
Now here's the kicker. The traditional Catholics who run the Puy du Fou are closely aligned with the Chartres pilgrimage, Notre Dame de Chrétienté, our friends at Notre Dame de Chrétienté. And we have a part in that ourselves. I'm the U.S. coordinator for Notre Dame de Chrétienté, and have been for 30 years. You see what I'm saying about Unite the Clans? You see what I'm saying about it's already happened? It's happening all around us? It's so hopeful. So that Puy du Fou, which is this incredible thing, is united and allied and founded by the same people who run the Chartres, you know, the brothers in arms of the Chartres pilgrimage, which is the largest traditional Catholic uniting of the clans event of the year, a spiritual extravaganza, a cultural reminder of the past, and a powerful event for the traditional Catholic Latin Mass movement. It's all connected. And what's happening in France right now, and to extend over here as well, because we're allied with them closely and have been for a long time, what's happening is they're changing history, friends, right now. They're not giving up the fight. They're doubling and tripling down like Butker did, carving the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Sacre Coeur, into stone and into, like I say, the minds and hearts of millions of visitors per year. I know, because I just came back from there where I bought this, by the way. I bought this, if you can see this wall, I don't know if I do a thing, it's really quite beautiful. I bought this from the man that you can see up here on the screen. He's a Catholic sculptor in the Puy de Fou. So the Sacred Heart of Jesus, you know, being carved into stone as a reminder that the Vendeans, the original traditional Catholics, did not lose the war and never will lose the war because God wills that they won't ever lose the war. So I repeat, you think the war is over and that the enemies of the cross have won, but you see, you're wrong. It's just getting started, friends. It's just firing up into full gear right now. It's become a youth movement. The Catholic army is rising again. And the future is ours if we just have the courage and the faith to grab it, to make it our own, to proudly take it out and fight for it, right? That's what they're afraid of. They're afraid that every one of us is going to become like a Harrison Butker. Oh my gosh, then what? We really start fighting to take it back. For us, our country is our villages, shouted General François Charette de Contrée, the King of the Vendée, to his men on the battlefield. Is our country is our altars, our country is our graves, our country is all that our fathers loved before us. Our country is our faith. What we are is our faith, our land, our king. And then Charette says, but what is their country? He said it is, and he's referring to the enemies of the cross. He's referring to the revolution. He says their country is as old as the devil. This world they call new and would establish in the absence of God. It's as old as the devil. They tell us we are slaves of ancient superstitions. How ridiculous. In the face of these demons who are reborn from century to century, we are youth, gentlemen. We are the youth of God, the youth of faithfulness. And this youth intends to preserve for itself and for its sons genuine humanity and the liberty of the soul. Gentlemen, we are the men who only wanted to be left alone, to raise our children, love our wives, and worship our God. They refused to leave us alone, and now they have stirred the spirit of the Vendée once again. They have awakened an army of God. The revolution, friends, has failed. You know why? Because we're still here, and we're not going anywhere. Thank you very much for listening. Vive le Christois, and we'll see you next week.